Father, I just lift up my sister. I ask you to fill her with your spirit, with your word, with your power, and with your glory this morning. Open the hearing of her inner mind as she speaks. Father, we ask for a word of refreshing and open the ears of the hearers that no person would go home this morning without meat for their soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Good morning. Happy Easter. Oh, happy Thanksgiving. I was testing you. It's testing me. Thank you so much, Wendy. I can't tell you how much I love when everything just kind of, you know, the spirit just moved in the worship and in what Wendy had to share, and it's tying in wonderfully with the word the Lord's given me to share this morning. And aren't you appreciative of the beautiful day we have today? Just lovely, and I'm praying that it lasts all the way to December. March would be even better, but I don't want it to come in March, and unless it comes on March 1st and leaves on March 2nd. That's it. So this morning, I think the slide is already up there. Got ahead of me there. Sorry. No. It's not, what? Yeah, no, that's okay. I'm just checking to see if I've got it functioning the way I need to see it this way. So, stuck in your muck. A Thanksgiving message. Doesn't make sense, does it? But we're going to start by moving to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. So let me ask you, I'm just going to go back to our title thing. Have you ever felt stuck in your life? Boy, I'm getting that sometimes you feel like in a place in your life that you're in a vehicle and you're trying to go somewhere, but you just aren't moving. It just isn't moving. You feel stuck. Have you ever had times like that in your life? And maybe you have had times like, or maybe you're there right now. You're kind of feeling stuck with the Lord. Stuck in the situations that you find. We're in the spin cycle, going over and over, same thing. Lord, where is the moving forward? And again, I say maybe that's something that you've experienced in the past, or maybe it's something you're experiencing right now. Maybe it's just a certain area in your life where you feel that you're just not moving ahead. Well, every place else, but just this area, it's stuck. It's like you're spinning your wheels, and they're going round and round, and you're not going anywhere, and you keep pushing on the gas pedal, but all that's happening is you're digging deeper, getting more stuck, stuck in your muck. Now, this morning, I want you to understand I'm not speaking about muck being sin. Or sinful choices. I'm speaking about just your circumstances that you're in, or the situation you find yourself in. That's what I'm talking about and looking at. And when you're stuck in your muck and you feel like you're just spinning your wheel, sometimes you ask, where's God? Where's my moving forward with Him even? Things aren't going the way I prayed. Anybody have that? Things aren't going the way I prayed. Things aren't going the way I planned it. And then sometimes we get stuck in the thinking, what have I done wrong? Or then there's the, what haven't I done? What do I need to be doing? What haven't I done? You might be sitting in your circumstances and sitting and saying, I don't deserve this. And you know, when you can't see your way out of it, and you feel stuck. And you're thinking that there's no one there to help me. Then we read that scripture. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. And then you say, Pastor Shannon, how can you say all those things and then say, give thanks in all circumstances? Because I just don't feel like it. This is a key verse for us today. This is a key verse for when I don't feel like it. When I don't feel thankful or I don't want to give thanks. When I feel like saying, give thanks for what? You know, things get tough and things get rough and things get messy at times. But here's the thing. I love what Wendy shared. It is so important for us to remain in the plans and the purposes of God, even when we don't know what they are and can't see them. The plans and the purposes for God. Well, God says in Jeremiah 21:11, we all know this one, I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not evil. Proverbs 19:21 says this, God's purposes will prevail. I know the purposes I have for you for good and not evil, and God's purposes will prevail. Ephesians 1:3, we are blessed. He's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. His purposes will prevail. James 17:11 says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. He doesn't send us the bad one, things. So what's happening, Lord, when I'm stuck in my muck and I've got all this stuff going on and, how can I have an attitude of thankfulness to God? Because it's hard right now, God. I'm stuck in my muck. And again, we may not be able to see the beginning from the end, but God knows the beginning from the end. And it's good news for us who believe. If we look at this scripture, and let's see if I can get this to move forward. There we are, spinning our tires,
try reverse.
We're just going deeper. Hey, somebody's been, but we come back to this first Thessalonians here, and the first thing it says, rejoice always. And here's the thing, when we're the last sentence of this, of this portion of scripture, will ask the question, what is God's will for us? He says, this is his will. His will for us is to rejoice always, to pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. And goes on to say this, for this is the will of God for you in Christ. Well, we're going to kind of take that list and kind of work it a little bit backwards. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on praying continually and rejoicing, but you're going to see how it's going to lead there. But we're talking about thanksgiving, giving thanks in all circumstances. How many have ever gone through some hard times? Yeah. How many enjoyed it? What? No hands? No, we're not. It doesn't say we're supposed to enjoy it. But we're not rejoicing in the rough circumstances. We're rejoicing in him, right? We go through some rough circumstances, some tough times, and they're not enjoyable. And like I just asked, I don't think anybody desires to go through them. But you know what? We know something that God will do. He says he's going to turn all things to good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Now, I want you to hear something. God does not create the circumstances or make them so he can teach you something. In fact, we can go to the story of Joseph. Okay? Let's talk a little about Joseph. Joseph has the dreams. He shares them with his brothers. And the next thing you know, his jealous brothers take him and throw him in a pit. And you know what their desire is first? To kill him. Anybody here think that that was a part of God's plan? No, that's not God's heart. Thank goodness the oldest brother said, hey, let's not do that, but let's sell him. Let's make a little money off this. Sell him into slavery. Do you think that was Joseph's plan? God, you gave me a dream. You showed me what's going to happen. What is this? Now he's in slavery. He ends up in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife eventually ends up accusing him of rape, and he ends up throwing him in prison. False accusation. Joseph, Lord, what's going on? This is not the plan. Well, eventually, he's kind of forgotten there for a while, but eventually he ends up second to Pharaoh. And his brothers come. And this is his words to them. Which you intended for evil, God turned it around for good. And now we know the story. The whole nation of Israel was saved. They moved to Egypt, and the rest is in the book. You can read it. God did not cause Joseph's brothers to sin against their brother, but he did turn it around. God had a plan, and he got it. His purposes were still fulfilled in spite of the evil that was set out against him. And God does it again and again and again for us. Let's take a look here at Romans 5. But we also glory in our sufferings. How many of you glory in your sufferings? Because we know, here's where the glory is. We know that the sufferings produce perseverance. How many of you had to persevere through some stuff? Sorry, my mic feels like it's falling off. When you're going through some rough things, sometimes you have to persevere. Sometimes you don't get out of it right away. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I got to walk through a valley sometimes. But we... Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, steadfastness. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. How many of you love hope? Love to hope? And hope doesn't put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You know, we have to walk through some hard things sometimes, and sometimes we need some character building. And sometimes we need some character building as we walk through those things because of what is coming. See, Joseph maybe needed some character building. And again, God could have done it a lot of ways. But when he was standing as second in command to Pharaoh, he had to have some character. Sorry, and I'm going to say godly character. Today my mic doesn't, there, I think I got it now. Let's look at another story here. Let's talk about, let's see if I can get it to come up, from Acts 16. And it's a story about Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas are out walking in a market, and they've gone there a couple of days. They're sharing the gospel everywhere. And they come across a young girl who's got a spirit of divination and is, you know, reading people's mail, if you can put it that way, telling them things. And it starts bothering Paul's heart, and eventually he just goes and casts the demon out of her. Praise God, she's set free from a demonic spirit. But her owners didn't appreciate that, and I say that because she was a slave girl. Her masters didn't, because they were making money off of her. So they have Paul and Silas brought up before the court. Judge says, beat them, throw them in prison. They're beaten, thrown in prison, put in the middle of the prison, which is important. You know why? Because if you're in the middle of the prison, there isn't windows. You don't get a window. And their feet are put in stocks. And I can't imagine how uncomfortable they might have been. Remember, they've been beaten. It says they beat them with rods. They're sitting there in prison. And they start doing this. Verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Now, I want you to think about that. How would you feel if you were Paul and Silas? You've gone out doing God's work. You sharing the gospel. You set somebody free, and all of a sudden, you're beaten and in prison. Feet in stocks. God, where's your plan? What? This doesn't make sense. But this is what they did. They prayed, and they were singing hymns. And what kind of hymns were they singing? I don't doubt that they were singing out of the Psalms. Let me ask you, if you were in their same circumstance, what would your attitude be? What would be your thoughts? I had to honestly say, I don't think I would have been very happy, Lord. I don't think my first response would be to sing praises to your name. I might have been praying, but it might have been a lot of grumbling. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 103. Say it again with me. What psalm? I want to hear it again. Say it like you mean it.
103.
Your neighbor down the street didn't hear you. Oh, come on, guys.
103.
What psalm did I tell you to say? What psalm are you going to read when you get home?
103.
What are you going to start memorizing?
103.
And can I get you to say it one more time? What psalm?
103.
Okay. If you know what I just got you to do, I got you to say it 7 times. One of the things I learned in Bible college is if you do it 7 times or write it down 7 times, you're going to remember. You're going to remember. So what psalm are we looking at?
103.
Yay. So I'm thinking, and I have no proof of what psalm they were singing or how many they sang, but I'll tell you what, I'm giving you a key this morning. When you're stuck and you need to, what am I thankful for, Lord? You're going to Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my innermost beings praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Not just one, all of them. And then he starts listing them. Who forgives all your sin. How many are happy your sin is forgiven in Jesus? Yeah. And heals all your diseases. Who redeemed your life from the pit. He and crowns you, listen to this, crowns you with love and compassion. Ready for the next one? Who satisfies your desires with good things. And okay, ready to take hold of this last part here.
Yeah,
so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. How many would like their youth renewed? Hello. You know, how many of you have ever heard the saying with the older person says, I wish I knew now, I wish my wisdom wasn't, you know, youth wasn't wasted on the youth. I wish I could have my youthfulness and the wisdom I have now, right? Promise of God. Forget not all his benefits. What psalm are you going to go home and read?
Psalm 103
is for us. Here's Paul and Silas praying and singing, maybe Psalm 103, forget not his benefits. And they're praising him and they're grateful to the God of their salvation. It's a key to getting unstuck. Praising God, giving him thanks, looking to him is a key to getting unstuck. What do you think was happening to their attitude and their situation as they prayed and sang praises to God? What was happening in their heart? What happened this morning when you came in from life and started just focusing on the Lord as the worship team led us? Did your heart change? Did your attitude change? Did your thinking change? You what? You got softer. Because of the goodness of God. Because of the goodness of our God. Praise God. And see, there's a key to us when we're stuck in our muck. Well, I'm going to get to what Trevor said, so just hang on, Trev. About midnight, Paul and Silas are praising God, praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners are listening. Oops, sorry. Now we're going to go to Hebrews 13, 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer God, let us continually offer God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips that openly professes his name. Man, in the name of Jesus, right? There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Amen. Praise your name, Lord. We thank you for that name. Here's the thing. Praising him and giving thanks to him is a sacrifice. And the thing about a sacrifice is it costs us something. What is it costing us, okay? What's it cost us to praise him? It costs us everything in your thoughts or in your body that cries out against praising God. When you're in pain, it's hard to praise God. It's hard to even think about him. When you're mourning and you're deep in emotional hurt, it's hard to praise him. It's hard to be thankful. In fact, everything within us says that you're just plain crazy and it makes no sense. Don't be praising him. Praise him for what? Because we're stuck in our muck when we think that way. And the sacrifice of praise means we're going to lay that thinking down. We're going to lay down that it's just plain crazy. Let me ask you this. Have you ever gone outside and walked in your rubber boots through a mud puddle and gotten stuck? What's the only way you can get out of that puddle? Leave your boots behind. Got to leave those boots behind. And that's what it is for us with our view and our opinion and what have I done or what haven't I done right or why do I deserve this? When I think like this is just crazy praising God when I'm in this situation and everything inside of my body, inside of my being is crying out, I can't praise him, I can't give him thanks right now. That's when you got to step out of those boots and leave them in the muck. Leave them behind. Because you're going to start looking to him. And how you're going to do that? You're going to start praising him. I'm going to make the sacrifice of praise. I'm going to walk out of that thinking and walk out to him and just give thanks. Praise him. Remember all his benefits. What psalm are we remembering? Glory. There you go. Taking him up. Turn him into a song yourself. Take the words of scripture. Keith has done that a number of times. She sees the scripture and the Lord fills her with music, and she puts it to music, and we sing it here. Singing the praises of our God. He gives us a new song every day. That's what it says. New songs all the times. It doesn't matter what you might be stuck in. All of the negative situations that come along, God is going to turn them around. He's going to use them to mold you into the person he created you and I to be. So that you can become more fruitful and bring more glory to God. Jesus in John 15:8 says this, talking about his father after coming and pruning, he says, so this is the idea. Why prune? Jesus says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciple. How many of you here want fruit? You want fruit? You want to be fruitful? Let's go back to our Hebrews. That sacrifice of praise, let's read on, let's highlight the next one. It's the fruit of your lips. Bearing fruit. How many of you just said, I want to bear fruit? Singing and a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to God, you're bearing fruit. Did you think about that? How easy is that Well, maybe not, because you're in the middle of a... But to step out of those boots, step out of the muck, and step into bearing fruit, praising his name. And again, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, man. Break every chain. You'll be thankful. I'm on my last page, and it's only half. As we praise God and bear that sacrifice of prayer, our lips bear fruit. Fruitfulness. We're expressing thanks. We're praising God, and that changes our attitude. That changes our emotions. And something starts to happen in the heavenly realm. We just think, but something starts to happen in the heavenly realm. Did you feel it this morning? Did you feel it as we worship and sang out his praises? Even now as we sing, there's power in the name of Jesus. Well, let's move on to verse 26 in Acts here. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. What were they doing? Praying and praising God. And suddenly, there was a violent earthquake, that the foundations of the prison were shaken. All at once, come on, guys, you're reading. All at once. So I need to hear the first word. All at once. All prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. It didn't just happen for Paul and Silas. It happened throughout the prison. See, when we start praising God, when we start singing about the goodness of God and what Jesus has done, it doesn't just affect us. It affects those around us. Who's in your family, in your neighborhood, in your sphere of influence, chains need to be broken. Doors need to be opened. When you start praising God, giving thanks to him in all circumstances, prison doors open for those around you. Chains fall off of those around you. Something starts stirring in the heavenlies when we do this. And then we think about what happened. Oh, sorry, forgot about the picture. The next thing that walks in is the jailer walks in. He's about to kill himself. Let me see if I can get that one up there. Because he thinks they're all going to go. They've all the prisoners left. It's the end of him. And they stop him and say, don't. And we know that they share the word of the Lord with him. And his whole household gets saved. And their wounds are tended to. And they're fed and cared for, and they baptize the whole family. And they eat together. And it says they all became filled with joy, this family, because they believed on God. They believed the word that was preached to them. Talk about some fruitfulness. Talk about some things happening. Talk about God taking what was intended for evil and turning it for good. Paul and Silas are then hear from the magistrate that they're to be released. And Paul and Silas said, we're not leaving here without an apology. And they get it. And then they leave. They move on to where the Lord is leading them. In these scriptures, we can see, I should have put up all those things, but you can read the story. You have the scriptures there. I'm going to just step back just a second here. When we start expressing thanks, it changes us. And when we start doing it as a sacrifice in circumstances, it affects the heavenlies. What we do in the name of Jesus, what we do in our hearts, recognize who he is and what he's done for us. we produce fruit. And when we think of all of those scriptures, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in every circumstance, for this is God's will for you. And Jesus says, the Lord prunes you because it's his will for you to produce fruit and much fruit. Sometimes in the rough circumstances, we have to trust God to take care of us, to bring us through it. And again, lay down, step out of those boots. Or, as Trevor said, it's like this. Someone coming along and telling you, why don't you click it to four-wheel drive if you feel stuck in the muck? Why don't you click it to four-wheel drive? And your click to four-wheel drive is praise, is thanksgiving, it's worshiping God. Click it to four-wheel drive. So we'll have a little catchphrase here for the next little while. If somebody's feeling stuck in the muck, we're going to say what to them? Drive, or leave the boots behind, whichever you want. Click it to four-wheel drive, which is praising God, remembering his benefits, giving thanks in all circumstances. Here's our scripture again. For it's God's will for you. It's God's will for you to have a heart that's full of thanksgiving. And I say, when we start choosing to thank God, choosing to praise his name, you know what starts happening? Our conversation with God changes. Our prayer changes. And what happens in our heart, if I can say we're moving backwards, we rejoice always. And if it's not, you could always say, well, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? In this case, it's a round of, oh, by the way, it's the chicken. But but this is the, you know, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, which causes you to pray and rejoice. And it's just this wonderful. Because we step out of the boots, we step out of the muck, and step into what he has for us and what he's calling us to. Leave the boots in the muck, click it to four-wheel drive, and remember, God is for you, he's not against you. Why don't you stand with me, and we'll pray. Father, we are thankful. And as we think of all the benefits we have in you and through Jesus, we stand in awe and amazed at how much you love us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Lord, help us remember we're not stuck if we choose to look to you, that you will move us forward. And Father, I pray for anyone here who is feeling stuck in the muck. I pray for them right now. I lift up my brothers and sisters and say, Lord, again, reveal your goodness to them. Father, we thank you for Wendy's story that proves again and again, no matter what the circumstances, you are with us. And Lord, as we go and give this day to you and tomorrow or whatever day we choose to celebrate Thanksgiving, we're really thankful mostly for you. And we give you glory, honor, and praise in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Bless you guys. Have a great week. We will see you next week. I will remind you next week, Ed and Sherry, this are going to be here with us. So, Ed and Sherry Hizek.